Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. One of our chief discussions on today's show will be WrestleMania this year and what is it exactly that we're going to see, because there's been a lot of speculation, there's been a lot of rumor, there's been a lot of people writing about possibilities, and to be honest with you, none of them seem all that credible. So we're going to dive in a little bit on what we might be seeing this year for WrestleMania. We're also going to be doing a little AEW talk. We're going to be talking about some of the latest news here involving the WWE, running down SmackDown a little bit. But I wanted to start with a question I've been getting fairly often here in the last couple of weeks. And that is, where the hell is Jade Cargill? You know, they signed her with this big, big promise, and they said, she's going to revolutionize the women's wrestling industry in the WWE, and she's a big deal. And they shot all the vignettes of her getting out of the limo and being interviewed, and she was going to be the thing. Triple H calling it one of the biggest signings WWE's ever done. And she's yet to step foot in a ring. And the simple answer, folks, is the answer we gave you a long time ago when she first joined WWE, and we said, she's not ready. I don't know if anybody watched her wrestle. I don't know if anybody watched her perform. But clearly in AEW, she was green as grass, and she wasn't taught what you would say WWE's style of wrestling by any stretch of the imagination. And I guess it was very evident. And now we're being told that some top WWE guy said she needs to learn. So she's on a crash course, I guess. It must be, I don't know how to put this. Wrestling is such an interesting business. It must be mind-numbing to people with tremendous amounts of talent in the ring to not really be able to get signed. When somebody like Jade Cargill is signed with such a huge amount of publicity, and then they openly admit, yeah, well, she can't wrestle. Doesn't really know how. The business folks, they think she has something special when it comes to marketing, a look, and an appeal. And irregardless, this is what we've said on this show for a long time, irregardless to whether she can do three moves or 350 moves, they figured she's going to be an asset to the WWE long term when it comes to marketing and merchandising and drawing in a certain demographic. And they don't care. They'll teach her what she needs to know. Now, this has its limits. Obviously, you remember some people who came into Federation and could not wrestle at all, and it clearly showed they could not wrestle, and like Eva Marie, and they gave her two shots, and it didn't work out any better, and they just said, forget it. Now, will Jade Cargill be the new Eva Marie? No, I don't think so. She wasn't that bad to begin with. But I will tell you this. You might have wanted to think about giving her all those vignettes and giving her all of those accolades and bringing her in front of the cameras and then making her disappear for a month. Because when you do that, the momentum tends to die. And now you're going to have to build back all that momentum. And I don't know if it's going to be that easy. I do think in some real way, no matter how much they push her, they don't do this properly, Jade Cargill could end up being a bust for WWE, Mike.
She could be. And think about it this way.
At one point, I was talking about maybe putting her with Bobby Lashley's group as well. But again, we've seen now what happened, that they've now currently have replaced her. We've seen the couple times with B-Fab that she's been in the group. At least with B-Fab, she's been in the WWE. She knows that stuff. She's a decent enough athlete. She's been in the WWE. She knows that style of wrestling, and they could use her now, you know.
Right.
Whereas Jade Cargill, she may look the part. I mean, Lord knows Jade Cargill looks the part, right? But she's not ready. Looking the part and being the part are two totally different things.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, we had said right on this show, wait till she gets in the ring. You're giving her all these accolades, and you're building her up like she's going to be the second coming of Charlotte Flair or Bianca Belair, and wait. Because when fans see her, they're going to be like, wait a minute. I don't see it. We knew ahead of time. I can't believe the WWE didn't know ahead of time. I can't believe the WWE, before they signed her, did not say, you want to come down here and work out and let's see what you got? And then literally say, well, I don't know. We better, okay, we're signing her. But we're not going to introduce her to television until we feel she's ready. Give her a month. Give her 2 months. Whatever it happens to be. No. You rushed her right up to television. You introduced her. You claimed she was going to be this, that, and the other thing. You put her in the faces of top women wrestlers as if, oh, wait till you see these two in the ring. And then you said, hey, yeah, well, she's not ready. She's not ready? Well, then why the hell did you do it? See, that's an unforced error on the part of the WWE. You can't do things like that. And there's really no excuse. You can't say, well, maybe they thought this or that. No, no, no. This is your job. It's like bringing up a baseball player. Oh, we brought up a relief pitcher, and we had no idea that his ERA against right-handers is, 15. So we got shellacked. Well, no, no, no. You do your research. Somebody had to look at Jade Cargill and say, yeah, I don't know. Because we did. We watched her and we said, I don't know, man. I don't see it. I think they're going to have to retrain her. They're going to have to really, put the screws to her in order to get her over as somebody big. And they didn't. They just said, oh, no, no, she's here and she's ready, and put her in the face of everybody, all the top wrestlers we got here. Roll the dice. Well, came up craps. And now I don't know if you're going to be able to recapture that momentum. Everyone was talking about it. Remember when everybody said, oh, Jade Cargill, my big signing. They said so. And then nothing. Nothing at all. And staring down the barrel, by the way, of Jade Cargill getting signed and not wrestling, there's a very, very, very strong rumor going around that Mercedes Moné is pretty much down to, am I going to work for AEW or am I going to crawl back to the WWE? And I think she's figured out for herself that if she works in AEW, she's not going to be the pampered princess. They're not going to do it. She has friends in that locker room in WWE, and she has people who know her, and she's already popular. She doesn't have to get herself back over. And I don't know. I have a feeling you might see her. That's going to overshadow Jade Cargill, too, because Jade Cargill was basically Mercedes Moné. That was their replacement for her. And now all of a sudden you might get the real thing back. So I don't know, Todd. So far, Jade Cargill has been handled poorly, and they sort of admit if we put her in the ring right away, it would have been a bust. How do you not know that before you sign her?
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this the situation with Jade Cargill, when they brought her onto WWE television, it just made her like eye candy, like for people, like mostly male audiences, just the check her out and everything. It's just like an attraction, like, this is what we sign. And this is not where we're going to put her on TV. That's what it is.
Well, they're going to have to do something because her name is no longer prevalent. People aren't talking about it that much. And for a while it was. I remember some people saying that's a major blow to AEW and a big, big pickup for WWE. What are you saying now? And again, if Mercedes Moné does sign with the WWE, re-sign with the WWE, I think that takes a lot of the wind out of the sails of Jade Cargill, Mike.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Think about it this way. There are other people in other federations that are basically her, except with more experience. For instance, I give you an example. Camille in the NWA.
Right.
She is basically...
Yep.
Jade Cargill, but with more experience. She's basically a woman that if she wants to go over to the WWE and join Nick Aldis, you know, they could take her and she could acclimate herself better to the WWE style than Jade Cargill has. You know, there's Baby Doll's daughter is another one. Terry Gordy's daughter is another one, you know. So you've got people that can do it, but that have more experience, you know, that probably should have been on the list higher to sign than Jay Cargill.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see how they handle this. I'm sure they want her ready for the Royal Rumble. I'm sure they want her as an entrant to the Royal Rumble. They may end up with Mercedes Moné as an entrant to the Royal Rumble. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, apparently Drew McIntyre has still not signed his deal, and for that reason, he was left off the Royal Rumble post. Now, we had thought that Drew McIntyre must have certainly signed his deal because they were given a major television time. They weren't jobbing them out. They were making them a force to be reckoned with and starting storylines. But from what I'm told now, it's still not official. Now, they're going to have to make this official right away. Now, maybe it's so close that they're saying, look, it's going to be official. It's just a matter of crossing a few T's and dotting a few I's. But in a sense, we've come to the agreement. That's possible. The case, then that's why. But he's not on the poster. And I would think he'd be one of the top people you would consider a possibility to win the Royal Rumble. Especially after, you know, the thing with Seth, because again, he can go after, I guess he'd have to go after Roman, because it would be the main event of WrestleMania. But at the end of the day, we don't even know for sure what's going on with Roman Reigns. That's another thing we're going to get into a little bit because we talk about momentum here on the show a lot. The bloodline momentum is done. You've just let it fade out to the point now where it's just not – it used to be the hottest thing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Drew McIntyre apparently, Mike, still not officially inked. Now, they may have agreed on principle. Their contract may have been, we do agree on principle. Now it's just a matter of getting it into the right whatever and signing it. I don't know. But when you leave somebody off the poster, gives you a feeling that maybe they're not sure.
They're not sure. But again, if they're not sure, then why do they keep going ahead with him turning heel? Basically moving forward with it, right? You would think that if they're not sure, they'd put that thing on a treadmill and say, okay, we're not sure, and we're not sure if you're going to be here or not, and therefore we're not going to move you forward. But they keep moving this thing forward. We saw what happened this week. You know, they moved it forward a little bit, you know. So obviously they're very close. If they haven't signed, they're close. It may be what you said. They've agreed the principle. They just hadn't gotten together to dot the I's and cross the T's yet.
You would think that would just about have to be it. But, again, I don't know why you'd leave him off the poster. Anyway, I do want to talk a little bit about SmackDown. Because for the first time in a while, I'm really starting to feel the WWE is getting into a really good groove, and they're starting to, what I would call, create superstars that before they were just letting languish. And the first one I want to talk about, well, there's a few, really. But obviously we know now, I think it's fairly clear, that Bayley is turning face. You can clearly see that Bayley is not wanted in damage control. You can clearly see that no matter what they're saying to her, they're kind of X-ing her out. And exactly what I said, Dakota Kai seems to be taking the microphone and speaking for damage control. Now, does Dakota Kai fit in with damage control? Absolutely does not. But I do think it's a wise decision to have somebody on that microphone who can talk. Because despite the fact that all three of the other ladies in damage control are fantastic performers and can certainly cut a great promo in their home country, they just can't get it done here. It's not going to work. They need someone who can. And if it's going to be Dakota Kai, then okay, it's going to be Dakota Kai. It's definitely not going to be Bayley. So we saw Bayley not get invited to the, I guess what you would call the little get-together in the ring. And then we saw later on Bayley be told basically to stay away from ringside, even though she didn't. And we can clearly see now that the sympathy factor is being shifted to Bayley. They replayed the Hell in a Cell match. Well, whatever, War Games match, I should say. Same thing, really. They replayed the War Games match, and they showed in great detail, look how many times she saved her team. Here's Bayley saving the pin. Here's Bayley saving the pin. Here's Bayley saving the pin. Here's Bayley pushing somebody out of the way and eating the spear. Bayley was the most valuable player. That's what they said. Bayley was the most valuable player at the War Games match. Subconsciously trying to do is shift the sympathy to Bayley where you say, yeah, that's absolutely right. Okay, Bayley got pinned, but they all would have lost a long time before that had Bayley not saved them constantly or whatever, so it's not Bayley's fault. They're clearly showing you the loss was not Bayley's fault and that she fought bravely for her team, and they're the ones who are abandoning her and not vice versa. That usually only gets done, Mike, when you're flipping face, so I think it's a matter of a very short period of time until Bayley's a face.
Right, and think about it. What's going to happen when she turns face? You know, we saw basically, Charlotte and Becky, you know, put their past behind them, right? And now we saw them basically make, they're in the process of making a star with Shotzi, right? But if Mercedes Moné comes back and you got Bayley, Sasha, Mercedes Moné, Charlotte, and what's her name, and Bianca, and we won't need Becky. Becky can go back to Raw. There's your Four Horsemen, and there's your feud there, you know?
Yeah, well, you read my mind because that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this all kind of ties in. Bayley turns face, doesn't have a friend in the world because she's betrayed too many people. And you might see the return of Sasha Banks. It would be a very interesting storyline. And the WWE, to their credit, is beginning to realize that star power is extraordinarily important. Not only building stars. See, before the WWE, in a way, Tony Khan was right when he said the WWE keeps relying on 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. Bring them back, star power. They're starting to realize we can bring some guys back, We can bring back Randy Orton. We can bring back CM Punk. We can even bring back Stone Cold Steve Austin maybe for a little while. But we need to create stars. We cannot waste NXT talent or talent that we brought in and just say, well, they're just going to languish in the mid-card. If they don't work the first time, we're going to find a way to make them work. Well, I got news for you. You totally destroyed El Ligero del Fantasma when they first came in. You made them a joke. You made them jabrones. It was idiotic the way you handled them. Then somebody's bright idea was let's make them faces, and that didn't work out so well. And we will reform the LWO, which in fact was a good idea. But Santos Escobar was not able really to flex his strengths in that group. And Escobar just became a mid-card jobber who was setting people up for Rey Mysterio, and then were even worse. They were just the guys that ran out and got beat up trying to help Escobar. When I watched SmackDown on Friday night, the very first thing I said when Santos Escobar entered that ring is, you've got a superstar now. You got him. He looks the part. He acts the part. He wrestles the part. He is the part. You've wanted one of these guys, these Latino guys, to be a big deal for a long, long time. You tried it with Alberto Del Rio. You even tried it a little bit with Angel Garza. You tried it with Andrade. And you have not had much success. This is the guy, is definitely the guy. When he walked down to the ring, I said, this is the guy. He has the absolute right approach to everything when it comes to being a heel. And I think it's very important that the WWE continue this with him. You can't squash him. If the WWE blows this one, then there really is absolutely no excuse for it because he's not doing anything wrong. He's hitting all the right points. In the ring, out of the ring, physically, emotionally, the facial expressions, his outfit, his whole look, his whole demeanor, it's hitting all the points. That crowd was booing him out of the friggin' building. Now, this is the same crowd who was absolutely dead silent anytime he came out. Couldn't care less whether he won or lost. They'd cheer him a little bit if he was teaming up with Ray, only because he was with Ray. But on his own, nothing. They're booing him out of the building. And I want you to understand that there's many factors of why they're booing him out of the building. I'm not going to put it on one thing. But I am going to tell you this. One of the biggest things they allowed him to do was the very politically incorrect thing to say, I hope you have to have your leg amputated. Because when he said that, that was crossing a bridge that the WWE doesn't cross very much. And the WWE fans recognized it and said, now that's really a heel. That's someone who we cannot cheer for. How do you cheer for somebody like that? You can't. Now, yes, he has his match against his former stablemate and pretty much a squash match, but that's fine. It looks like Dragon Lee is going to oppose him a little bit, but he's already beaten Dragon Lee. That's fine. All of that stuff is fine. I'm just telling you that in the business of professional wrestling, you have to look the part and you have to act the part. And what did I see when I saw Santos Escobar walk down that aisle this week that I didn't see in previous weeks? I saw an action figure. I saw a marketable look. I saw someone who you say, that doesn't look like everybody else. He has a unique approach, and he's marketable. Yeah, he's a heel, but he's marketable as a heel. WWE is starting to understand this again. They went to sleep on this for a long, long time, Mike. But I think they're finally waking up to the fact that they need to do this, and they just may have found one of their top heels.
Right, and think about this. Now that he's a heel now, now that he's a heel, they could, there's a storyline here that they could play up that he's going to try and put back together his fractured group. He's going to try and put together, reform either the same group was better, Legado del Fantasma, or get two other guys to form a new Legado del Fantasma. You know, there's a storyline here with both him and possibly Legado del Fantasma, because just think about this also. You know who else is still there? Lopez.
Yeah.
You know, who was with her, who was with him in the first place. I mean, they really shouldn't have put Zelina Vega with him when they brought him up. They should have brought Lopez up, you know, in the first place. But there is a storyline. And if they choose to do that, I mean, right now the other two guys are still somewhat with Ray, somewhat in that group with Ray and what's his name and Carlito, right?
Yeah.
Now Carlito's another one that could be heel, face, whatever, but they're still in that group. But they could do a thing where they could do a storyline where he's somewhere backstage, he's talking to him. And he's trying to basically drive a wedge between the other two guys, DJG and the other guy and the LWO. There you go.
There's a lot you could do with this. Now, Derek is saying, you know, Angel Garza didn't do anything wrong either. No, he didn't. Matter of fact, he lit that audience up on his debut. But they mishandled it. And the one thing, and everyone knows I'm a big Angel Garza fan. He's a friend of this show. But the one thing that Angel Garza probably didn't have that Santos Escobar does, at least now, is a very unique look. You know, Angel Garza actually got an action figure. And it looks like Angel Garza, but, I mean, it's a very generic-looking look. The way Santos Escobar came out this week is not generic. It doesn't look like anybody else in the WWE. Not a single soul. It's almost the same way in music, you know? You hear the first three chords of a song, you're like, that's AC/DC. You don't even have to hear the singer. You hear the first little bit of a Meatloaf song, you're like, that's Meatloaf. You can just tell. Bruce Dean, you can just tell. You don't even have to wait. That's because they have a unique sound. Well, wrestlers should have a unique look that you positively can identify them. Santos Escobar did not. He looked like a generic Latino guy for a while. He does not now. The shirt cut that way, his hair wild, long like that, he grew a little bit more of the scruffy beard in. He's definitely looking like a unique heel, and I hope they keep that. Now, as far as what they'll do with El Legado del Fantasma and the people that were in it, my thought is you're going to have to get Santos Escobar to fight the other member of the team, which whose name I don't remember, and beat him. Then when it appears as though Escobar has moved on from those guys and those guys are bitter toward him, fight Carlito. And during that Carlito match, have the two guys run down as if they're going to help Carlito, but instead they jump Carlito. Beat the hell out of Carlito, reunite with the El Legado del Fantasma, totally disavow the LWO, rip up the LWO t-shirt, say this is garbage, this is whatever, and there you have them. Then if you want to introduce the female, you do. This leaves Carlito alone. Except maybe with Zelina Vega. He needs someone besides Ray because Ray's injured right now. You could potentially bring up Garza I can't think of his name now, but we know who we're talking about. Or you could wait till Ray comes back and add another member like Dragon Lee and let them form a different group, and then you have group warfare. And it's a good way to get Santos Escobar past Carlito without blaming Carlito, without making Carlito look weak. Because then you could say, oh, well, you know, come on, he got jumped by three people, of course he lost. So I think you might see that. But whatever way we slice it, Todd, this week I especially felt what Santos Escobar was trying to get across to the audience, and that's what the WWE's been missing for a while.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Santos Escobar faced a couple months ago, like, I'm thinking, like, he's not gonna be good as a face. He's not good as a face. And look at him now. Now he's a heel. He plays better as a heel than a face. And like you said, like you said with Santos Escobar, he could reform that group or bring in new members like Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo.
There's a lot can be done. You've got. Again, you've created something now that you got a lot of branches on the tree. This is what I have always called for since the very first episode of this show. My booking style and the style of booking I like in wrestling is when you give an audience a storyline that has so many branches on a tree that even if they see them all coming, they're not sure which one is coming. You say, well, there's this option and this option, and then there's this option, or they could do this. So now it's not that predictable because while you may know all the options, you may say, well, it's one of these four things. You're not sure which one. The beauty of a really good angle. When there's only one place for it to go, it's usually not a very good angle. But when there's several places for it to go, you say to yourself, okay, well, I don't know. I can probably predict it's going to be one of three or four things, but which one, I don't know. That's what leads to good ratings, Tom. That's what leads to good writing, and that's what I think the WWE is starting to go for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Santos Escobar did such a great job this week, and you knew exactly where he was going with what he said. You knew exactly where he was going with the match he had, with the everything that was in that match, because it really could have gone either way. The only thing I didn't honestly like is Dragon Lee coming down and he gets beat up and then takes a powder. I really think that he should have got the upper hand somehow and then taken the powder.
Well, you know, that's a minor point, though, because you want the heel to run off. You want the heel to be like, oh, especially if you're setting up another match with him and Dragon Lee. You want that heel to be, oh, no, you know, I don't want any part of him. I'm not going to be brave and stand here. I'm going to be a coward and run. But you'll get the best of them in the long run. Now, having said that, this is why I love SmackDown this week. A couple of weeks ago, I told you, when Kairi Sane, Io Sky, and Asuka walked down that rampway, I said, well, superstars, all three of them. You got a faction now that's fucking cool. Now, yeah, they're going to be booed, but they're still really, really solid as a faction. It's not some thrown together thing like we're going to put Raquel Rodriguez with, I don't know, how about this week's flavor, whoever. And they're going to be a tag team and they're going to be buddies. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, well, next week we'll put them with Nikki Cross. Oh, that didn't work. Okay, well, no. This is a solid team where you're saying to yourself, this is a faction that's not going to be easy to beat. And by the way, they didn't get beat at War Games. Bayley did. Even though it wasn't her fault, Bayley got beat. They didn't let any one of those three take the pinfall, which was a very smart move. They implied they might have got pinned, but you never knew for sure. So technically speaking, since they've become a team, they're undefeated. And they look like world beaters. And every one of them has credibility. Asuka has tremendous credibility. Io Sky has tremendous credibility, and Kairi Sane has tremendous credibility. It's a legit badass faction. And they look fantastic. They are wrestling fantastic. And I see marketability there, too. I look at them and say, yeah, absolutely marketable. So, Mike, this is, again, this is a very positive thing for the WWE.
You know something, and I've been paying attention to Asuka's channel on YouTube, Asuka's YouTube channel, and she looks the last couple of things she's done on that channel, she looks positively giddy. She is extremely happy right now to be doing what she's doing. And when somebody like Asuka is that happy, you're going to get some good stuff. Now, as far as just going right back to the Rey Mysterio thing, the Legado del Fantasma thing, you know, what if we don't know how long Rey's going to be out for, right? So basically right now it's the three guys and him and Carlito, the two other guys and Carlito, I'm kind of expecting the other two guys to turn on him at some point. What if we know they're going to split up the Judgment Day, right? What if Carlito's by himself and we're still a long ways away from Rey coming in? Well, Carlito needs somebody. Well, could a rescue runs Dominic Mysterio?
Listen, it's very possible. I wouldn't do it, and I'll tell you why. The reason I wouldn't do it yet is because Dominic Mysterio, according to Shawn Michaels, is the WWE's top heel. He said, having observed the ratings, having observed the crowds and everything when he's there, he gets the best reaction as a heel. He's the one that everyone is absolutely 100% against. Good. Then don't fix it if it ain't broke. Right now it ain't broke. I agree with you that down the line, if they're going to continue this long term, you could potentially have Dominic see the error of his ways. But that's down the road. We'll see what happens with that. But now you've got a very solid Santos Escobar and what I'm thinking is going to end up being a really, really good faction. You've got Damage Control, who Tom in the chat room is saying should change their name. Yes, they should change their name. But they're a very solid faction. Very, very solid faction. Then I saw something I never thought I would honestly see, and that is an entire crowd chanting for Bobby Lashley. You're not getting him over as a heel. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If I were a writer, I would at least pitch this idea. I would say, based upon the crowd reaction of Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, is it remotely possible that we can do an angle by which Bobby Lashley, who's trying to convince the Street Profits to be rule breakers and shortcut takers and backstabbers and no friends and win by any means necessary, actually gets won over by the Street Profits, who convince him you need to lighten up, you need to accept the crowd, you need to get those people behind you, that's the real force, and they just end up being faces. Because they're not booing Bobby Lashley. Butch is very popular. And they were all for Bobby Lashley. You're not going to get him to boo him. And the Street Profits are not hateable. There's nothing there that's hateable about the Street Profits. They don't do anything all that bad. They've tried. They've back-jumped people. They beat people down. The crowd's still cheering for them. And by the way, the Street Profits are not really good at being the rule breakers. They're just not. Their worth to the company is to get that crowd pumped up, to get everybody in a party atmosphere, to crack their one-liners, come out there and be energetic. They're like the New Day in a way. And they're not all that effective as heels. They're just not, because they don't get any heat. So if you're not getting any heat anyway, why the hell are you shoving it down our throats? You've got a good faction here. People like this. If they're liking it anyway, the crowd's telling you we like Bobby Lashley. The crowd's telling you we like the Street Profits. Give them a reason to cheer them. It's not going to be by having Sheamus come back and take Butch's side and go against them. It's not going to work. You need to get them involved with a heel tag team or a heel three-way type thing. And you'll see how the crowd reacts, and it will be deafening. But nonetheless, I saw something I never thought I'd see. Not only Bobby Lashley getting cheered out of the building, but Bobby Lashley being pretty good on the microphone. And he was terrible before, by the way. Bobby Lashley with a microphone, I literally would put my hands over my ears because I'm like, he's going to embarrass himself. He's going to embarrass himself, and I'm going to be embarrassed for him. I'm just not going to listen. He took that microphone and did excellent. You know why? Because he's being really Bobby Lashley. They're not making him be a character. They're not making him be anything. They're just letting him be him. It works. So don't shove it down our throats, WWE. Immediately get them involved with a team so that we can root for them, because that's what the crowd wants. Don't squeeze all the juice out of the orange and then throw it away and then not be able to get it back. Right now you've got them ready to be next level. Use it wisely. Todd, I think Bobby Lashley in this role seems to be doing an excellent job.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when they first hooked Bobby Lashley up with the Street Profits, Bobby Lashley was getting cheered. And when they turned him heel a couple months ago, he was still getting cheered by fans.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like he could do any wrong. He's reached this plateau, I think, Tom, in WWE, where he's been around so much, people are just appreciating him now. So you're not going to make them boo him. And since you're not going to make them boo him, why waste them? I think they need to do something right away to flip this team.
Yeah, and my thing is that we were all calling it where Lashley was going to have the Street Profits in his faction, and they were going to try to convince him to embrace the fans, but it was going to be just embrace the fans and leave it at that and make them part of them. But to turn on him is actually brilliant, because they, two other guys, he could find three other guys, right? And you got the new Hurt Business, which is faces, and you got the Profits, who turned on the beloved Bobby Lashley. But let it breathe.
See, I wouldn't do it that way, because Lashley's already too popular. What I would have done is never gotten rid of Cedric Alexander, which was a dumbass move. You already have MVP. And somewhere almost is in the background. How come we can't do Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin and obviously almost with MVP as a manager against Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits? The crowd wants to cheer Bobby Lashley. They want to cheer the Street Profits. They don't want to cheer MVP. They don't want to cheer Almost, and they don't want to cheer Cedric Alexander, and they wouldn't have cheered Shelton Benjamin if he were around. Shelton Benjamin. I know he's not young. Is CM Punk young? No. Shelton Benjamin wrestles circles around CM Punk. So you should have kept him. It's not too late to get him back. And you want to talk about a group war, a faction war. MVP's Hurt Business against Bobby Lashley's whatever you're calling. Sounds all right to me. I don't know, Mike. You know, it seems like the WWE may have turned a corner here. With Vince McMahon kind of stepping aside and some other things happening here, I'm starting to see that maybe some of the things that happened beforehand, they could correct if they wanted to. And I think they're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, and realize we need to create this type of excitement every week.
Right. And here's the thing. Think about this. If you told me that Shelton Benjamin was in his mid-30s, I couldn't argue with you. Because unlike what's his name, he looks the part. He still looks the part, the Shelton Benjamin. And look, if you play this thing right, you could have a Black Four Horsemen type situation. Lashley and the Prophets. All you need is a fourth guy. You know, all you need is either bring Shelton Benjamin back or Cedric Alexander or somebody, you know. All you need is a fourth guy. So you could absolutely – and look, back then, Bobby Lashley, when you were trying to get him to play a character, needed Leo Rush. He needed MVP. Right now, he doesn't need that. Now, if you want to bring in a guy like Leo Rush to be somewhat like or MVP to be somewhat like J.J. Dillon, you know, I'm fine with that.
I'd let him do it. I'd let Bobby Lashley lead this team. I would just make his opposition MVP's team because there's a history there, and that would certainly be something they could count on fans remembering. So anyway, those are three good things that happened on SmackDown. Then we get to Logan Paul announcing that there's going to be a tournament to decide who the number one contender is for his title. And he named some names. Karrion Kross is in there. Wow. Now, I'm a little worried about Karrion Kross. We'll get to that in a minute because I don't like the fact his name's in this tournament. I'll tell you why in a minute. But Kevin Owens comes out. Now, we always know that Kevin Owens is very good on the mic. Kevin Owens has spent how many years in this business? A lot. A lot of years in this business, developing his skills on the mic, and he's excellent. When Logan Paul can go line for line with him in the ring, I'm telling you, Logan Paul is not the type of guy I think I'd want to hang out with. I don't like his radio show. I don't like I do like his energy drink. I don't like his radio show. I don't like his personality, his real personality. He just is one of these goofy, I just don't like him. But man, is that guy built for being a professional wrestler. There's nothing that he does that would indicate that he's new to this. Nothing. I mean, he literally came up with one of the better lines I've ever heard anybody come up with when he said, you do understand that I just got finished knocking out a professional boxer. Do you honestly think that I couldn't do that to you? Do you honestly think I can't do that to you? I mean, your shirt says KO. I'm the guy who can KO. Now, Kevin Owens, to his credit, a veteran, didn't say, I'd like to see you try it. No, Kevin Owens acknowledged it and said, yeah, maybe, but that's a different sport. That's a different business. You're in my world. This is wrestling. That was a very good comeback. These two guys did a fantastic job on the mic. I expected it from Kevin Owens. You expect nothing less from Kevin Owens. But I'm telling you, every time I see Logan Paul, he shocks the freaking hell out of me. If I believed in reincarnation, I would say he was a wrestler in his past life because I don't know how he hits all of these marks perfectly with zero experience. He's like a prodigy. The weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I'm telling you, since I waddled in my house in diapers, I have watched professional wrestling, and I have never, ever, ever seen anyone take to professional wrestling as fast as Logan Paul, ever. And I don't think I ever will again. He is a bona fide superstar. And he's a superstar right now. Can you imagine a couple of years from now if he really just says, this is it, this is what I'm doing with my life, screw everything else, I'm 100% in as a WWE performer? I don't know what to tell you. Because he's as good as most of them right now. And his ability to sell a fight and make it sound legit is uncanny. And his attention to detail is uncanny. When he had one of the announcers, I forget which one, say to him, are you fully prepared to take on Kevin Owens if he wins this tournament? You're looking at Kevin Owens right now Are you, taking on Grayson Waller, beating the hell out of him? Are you honestly prepared for this? And he said, even if I wasn't, I'd tell you I was. Do you know how smart that line is? I want you to think about that for a minute. Easily he could have said, hell yes, I'm ready. I'm better than Kevin Owens will ever be. I'm a rookie sensation here, and look at how great I'm doing. And he didn't. He said, even if I'm not, I'm going to tell you I am. He makes it real because he doesn't go over the top. So many wrestlers go over the top. And you say, oh, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't go there. It's ridiculous. Nobody's that egotistical. Nobody's that whatever. The ego, like The Miz, for instance. I love The Miz. But everybody knows he's kidding with his ego. I'm a Hollywood superstar. I'm this. And you kind of know he's kidding. You never think Logan Paul is kidding. Because he doesn't really say anything that horrible. There's a realism to his arrogance. He's not out there saying, I'm the best looking, I'm the best wrestler, I'm the best, I got the best physique, daddy, I'm the greatest. He doesn't say that. He says, yeah, Kevin Owens great, but, I fought great people. I'm confident. I'm going to go in there and do it. And you think to yourself, he's not a character. The character he's playing is, in fact, a character, but he's playing it so well, Tom, it doesn't feel like a character. It feels like a real person.
Man, I'm going to have to agree with you there. I don't like Logan Paul's personality, and he has a very punchable face. I don't like his radio show. I think he's a goof when it comes to that. But, man, was his reactions, to be able to think on your feet like that and come out with the lines he did immediately, and to Kevin Owens' credit, saying what he said, he wasn't like the anger junkie that he's been. He said he was very calm, and he told him like it was. I was fully expecting Kevin Owens to go. Rah, 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 rah.
Hello. Hello. Marcus.
I can hear you.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. I think Blog Talk Radio is acting up.
Marcus, if you could hear me, I'm still here. Should we call back? Hello, hello. Thank you.
right. Can anybody hear me now? Well, let's go to the phones and see. Mike, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes.
All righty. My goodness, I have no idea what happened, but hopefully we're back on. What ended up happening here is that the cell service here must have dropped, and my call is dropped, and yet it said it was still on. So when I tried calling back in, it said, you're already connected. But I was not already connected because no one could hear me. So I'm presuming that something happened to the cell service. But as long as we're here now, I guess it's okay. Anyway, we were talking about Logan Paul. Bottom line of the situation, folks, is if this guy wants to be, and I'm not so sure he wants to be. See, it's the thing. He's a knucklehead. And he's one of these guys, I could be a great boxer, maybe. But then I decide I want to be a wrestler, maybe. And then all of a sudden it's, oh, well, now I want to be a talk show host. I want to be an actor. I want to be an entrepreneur. I don't know. But if he centrally focuses on wrestling, he's going to be one of the better ones. I can tell you that. One of the better ones. Now we do have a little bit of news, and it's not good news. Kevin Owens was absolutely 100% scheduled to win this tournament. There's no way on earth that they're going to put that kind of interaction between him and Logan Paul if that was not going to be the eventual winner. Not to mention the fact that you're obviously not having Bobby Lashley and obviously not having Santos Escobar win it. However, Kevin Owens got hurt Friday night. Kevin Owens broke two bones in his hand. And it's not a kayfabe injury. It's a real injury. And they don't know how long he's going to be out. But I don't think they're going to let him work with a broken hand. Now, they might. It depends. But I don't think so. So now you have to scramble and find somebody else. And it's not going to be easy because you don't want Santos Escobar to win, because if he wins, then that's Logan Paul against Santos Escobar. People are going to be cheering Logan Paul. Karrion Kross's name is in here. I don't like it, and I'll tell you why I don't like it. You were supposed to repackage him. This is what we were being told. You're repackaging him as this, you know, different, indestructible type guy or whatever. You're going to give him a real push. This is a real push, losing a tournament, because he's not going to win it. I don't even like that Escobar's name is in it, because he's not going to win it, which means he's going to have to lose. And unless it's some kind of a bizarre way of losing, I don't like it. So I don't like some of the names that's in this tournament. And it was definitely geared toward Kevin Owens winning. So I'm not sure what to say. This is the one part of SmackDown that made me say, ah, man, I don't think you're on the right track. You should have put some names in there that clearly could win and be a very interesting name. Instead, you lined it with people who shouldn't lose because you're already giving them a big push, shouldn't lose because you're repackaging them and you want them to be on the winning side for a while, and you put all your eggs in the one basket and that guy got hurt. That's a lunkhead thing to do. That's a mistake. And that's an unforced error. So I think that was a bad decision, Mike, and they could live to regret that one.
Right, and that's the thing. You know what? You know, Logan Paul and Pat McAfee are basically the same person. If Pat McAfee wanted to focus squarely on wrestling, he could be great as a commentator and probably halfway decent in the ring. You know, if Logan Paul wanted to focus strictly on wrestling, he could be probably a first ballot Hall of Famer at the end of the day, you know, at the end of, say, 10 to 15 years, you know, and doing it. And he's what, in his, what is, how old is Logan Paul? In his late 20s, maybe?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, he's got another good 10 years if he wants to, stick with it with wrestling. He's got another good 10 years at the top of the card if he wants to stay here, you know?
Yeah, and listen, he was even good at announcing. This guy has all the tools needed to be a very, very, very high-ranking professional wrestler, period. If he stays healthy, doesn't get hurt, focuses on it, he's going to be one of the better ones, I'm telling you. Definitely going to be one of the better ones. So SmackDown, you know, the main event was the main event, and whatever. And, you know, Randy Orton signing with SmackDown makes perfect sense because you know he's going to go after Roman Reigns. That's as obvious as you can possibly be. And I'm not really against that. However, and this will lead us into our talks about WrestleMania, I don't want to see Roman Reigns against The Rock. I've thought about it, and I don't want to see it. And there's a couple of reasons I don't want to see it. First reason is, I think The Rock has lost some of his popularity. I'm not 100% sure the fans would be so super psyched to see him come in and beat the hell out of Roman Reigns. Number two, I don't see how he can win. If he wins, he's going to have to lose it virtually the next night. And is that what you want to do? Is you built up Roman Reigns to be... Do you know that Roman Reigns has beaten every single person who's ever won the Royal Rumble, except for maybe Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the first one and Hogan, but recently, in recent times, except maybe like Chris Benoit? It's unbelievable. And you're just going to throw him to The Rock? Ah, just throw him to The Rock, and, you know, The Rock will just come out of Hollywood movie set and pin him and prove that the rest of our roster is just garbage because The Rock could have done it anytime he wanted. Well, that doesn't make any sense, and I don't like it. Now, losing I don't like either, because what does it prove? Okay, The Rock came out of retirement, tried to beat Roman Reigns, and could not do it. Big deal. Roman Reigns beat up a movie actor who hasn't been in a ring in I don't know how long. So I don't see the positive. I don't see anything positive except just getting The Rock's name in a WrestleMania, and you could do that without him fighting Roman Reigns. So I don't like that. Then we had, well, it's going to be CM Punk. That's a lousy idea. It's a lousy idea, and I don't think it's one that's even on the table. I still say that you're going to see CM Punk potentially be a heel. And having given it a lot of thought, thinking to myself, this could potentially be the way that the bloodline turns face. At least Roman Reigns turns face, because Paul Heyman has a history with CM Punk. And if Paul Heyman and CM Punk reunite, and he leaves being the wise man for the bloodline, then you might see a face Roman Reigns take on a heel CM Punk, but I don't think you'll see the reverse. I just don't. And I don't think that'll be right away. I think maybe you're talking about another year's WrestleMania or something. So who does that leave? Well, it could be Seth Rollins, but then that would only be if you wanted to unify the titles, which you could potentially do since your TV deals are expiring and we're not really sure where Raw's ending up. And it's not The Rock, and it's not CM Punk. It has to be Randy Orton. It just has to be. Now, they're saying, well, that could probably happen at the Royal Rumble. If you're going to rush it that quickly, you're insane. Randy Orton and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, that sounds right to me. That sounds like a very good main event and a main event that I think people would get behind. Is it better than The Rock? Of course it is. Because if Randy Orton wins it, he's not going to lose it right away. He doesn't have to lose it right away. The Rock does. Is it better than CM Punk? Yes, because everybody's just going to say, oh, CM Punk came back, you handed it to him. Is it better than Seth Rollins? Yeah, it's better than Seth Rollins because maybe you don't want the belts unified. You got more star power this way. You can send people on tour and still have a champion at two different house shows. So, yeah, Randy Orton's the logical choice. And I think that they're probably looking at that for WrestleMania. But if they do rush it and they end up, Tom, with doing this at the Royal Rumble, I would have to think that there has to be some kind of a odd conclusion to the Royal Rumble. Like Randy Orton enters it anyway and gets a rematch or something, because who's going to be in that Royal Rumble? Who's going to win this if it's not Randy Orton? Cody Rhodes, a lot of people saying, well, it's going to be Cody. Listen, Cody Rhodes right now is a bona fide superstar, and the fans love him. You don't want him to be the champion. I'm telling you right now, you don't want him to be the champion. You don't need to be the champion. He doesn't need to, quote-unquote, finish his story. He's fine where he is. He's doing fantastic. Let it rest. I don't think Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns Part 2 is as big a wrestling main event for WrestleMania as Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. That's just my opinion, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much going to have to be some kind of non-ending or to the Royal Rumble, or it's going to have to be some kind of, shenanigans being pulled where a lot of people, there's some busyness going on with everyone. They might have a fatal four-way like they did very many years ago to determine the number one contender due to the shenanigans. It could go. They could do a lot with it. But CM Punk versus Roman Reigns? No, I don't want to see that. I definitely don't want to see The Rock versus Roman Reigns for the exact reason you said. Reasons you said, really, multiple. And the only thing I can think of, honestly, if you're going to unify the belts, now that they're not on Fox anymore, you've had this angle with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns forever. You kind of left us all hanging when he was playing mind games with Roman and came out through the crowd to the Shield music. You never gave that back to us. I'm waiting, bated breath, as I'm sure all of us are. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but then we have a problem, don't we, Mike? Because if you want Seth Rollins to be the eventual main event for WrestleMania to unify the titles or to go, he pretty much has to beat CM Punk. And you know that that's going to be one of the first feuds. And I'm not 100% sure that you want CM Punk to lose his first feud. Now, Derek's saying, don't forget Cody. I didn't forget Cody. I said Cody's fine where he is. I don't think you want Cody as the champion right now. I just don't. See, here's the thing about Cody. Cody entered the WWE at precisely the right time. They needed a bona fide superstar. They had one or two, but they needed another one, and he became that. But now all of a sudden, there's a lot more. We're starting to see a roster of people who are bona fide now. And Cody is now in that mix, but he's not the guy, I don't think. I just don't think he's the guy. I just don't. Now, if you want CM Punk to go over Seth Rollins and win the title and then Seth Rollins to go against Roman Reigns, I guess you could do that. But then if he can't beat CM Punk, I don't know how he's supposed to beat Roman Reigns. So it really depends on where the WWE wants to take this. I would be in favor of the Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns main event. That's what I'd be in favor of. Then, if you could stretch it out, maybe CM Punk versus Seth Rollins for his title. I know that leaves Cody Rhodes out in the cold. And I know a lot of people won't like that. And once again, it's almost the opposite of what I'm saying about somebody like Logan Paul. I like Cody Rhodes. I've met Cody Rhodes and talked with Cody Rhodes a few times. Really nice guy. He's not disingenuous. He's legit. He does care about the fans. He does care about the business. He gets everything. But I just don't think he's the guy. I just don't. Maybe I'm wrong. But what convinces me that he's not the guy is I don't like Cody's style of promoting a match because it's always the same. It never changes. Cody's style is I have to do this for my father. I have to do this for my legacy. I have to do this for my family. Or I have to complete my story. It's the same. It never changes, and it starts to get aggravating. Whereas somebody's promo like Kevin Owens or somebody else's, it changes. Sami Zayn, whoever it happens to be, the motivation changes. Drew McIntyre. So Cody, to me, ends up being a one-trick pony a lot. And I think there could potentially be, and I know people are going to shoot me for this, but remember, it's pro wrestling, and you got to try to get heat. I think there could be an opportunity for Cody Rhodes to turn heel. That he feels he wasn't treated correctly. And he could be one of those heels that half of the people side with and half of the people don't. But at the end of the day, you got Randy Orton back. He says he's healthy and he's given indications he's going to be here for years. It's a big name. Seth Rollins is hugely popular. Who you got for the heels? Well, you have Roman, but man, I'll tell you, Roman's star has fallen because he wanted too much time off. Roman was cranking on all cylinders, but his heat is gone. When he comes back, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, Roman, and he's going to be, you know, booed, but the heat is off him. They're trying desperately to give Gunther heat, but he is dry as toast. I warned everybody about this, too. Everybody was on the Gunther bandwagon. He's great. He's brilliant. He's wonderful. I said he's good in the ring. He's not good on the mic. He can't sell a fight, and he can't. Heels. Bobby Lashley and Cruz getting cheered. If you want CM Punk to be a face, Jesus, you've got Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Randy Orton. Those are major faces. Major faces. AJ Styles is coming back. Those are major names. Where's your heels? Where's your top guys? You say, oh, he's not going to one guy, Roman Reigns, that's it? It's not enough. You need one, and people are going to say, well, you said Santos. Yeah, but nobody thinks Santos has beaten Randy Orton. See, that's the thing. You got to keep Santos at that level where he's a heel, but he's beating guys. You say, yeah, he can beat that guy. Yeah, he can beat this guy. He's not yet at that level of Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes and those guys. You need a guy who is. That would be CM Punk if he is a heel, or that would be Cody Rhodes if he flipped. It would also be Seth Rollins if he flipped, but I don't think that's a wise choice right now. So, yeah, they're going to have to do something before WrestleMania because you try figuring it out. That's what we're going to do with the last remaining 40 minutes of this show. We're going to try to figure out WrestleMania, and I got news for you. When you try to put all the pieces together, they don't fit. You say, okay, well, Roman. Let's say Roman is going to fight Randy Orton. Great. Then I guess Seth would have to fight CM Punk. Great. You've got those two titles. Done. Who's Gunther fighting? I guess he'd have to fight Cody Rhodes. That's what I would do. That leaves Jey Uso fighting who? Remember, Jey Uso's a big face now. He's main event Jey Uso. You've got too many top faces and not enough top heels. So what ends up happening is when you try to go down the ladder, you're like, wait a minute. There's not enough heels to face all these top faces and make a competitive match. Jey Uso is going to end up fighting his brother, and his brother's been losing every single match he's in and getting beat up. So it's not a logical thing where you say, well, Jay's going to lose that match. How could he? Jimmy Uso gets beat up every freaking week. So maybe he fights Solo? Even Solo has lost a lot of his edge. So I don't know. It's going to be tough without one more major heel, and I don't see that one more or two more major heels before WrestleMania. I don't see it. Now, there are some people who says, well, look out for Randy Orton. He's not going to flip before WrestleMania. They're going to ride the Randy Orton popularity wave at least that long. He might flip afterwards. He's not going to flip until then. So who is? Seth Rollins? That's a mistake. They're still going to go do that song, and it's not going to work. So I would suggest CM Punk. But it's kind of obvious then. You know, it's a very interesting problem, Mike. Where do you think they're going to go with this?
It is. And there's another check mark in the Randy Orton champion to be champion thing. One is that he'd be on the road to getting his 15th, 16th, and 17th championship. But also think about this. Who brought him into that team as a part of the legacy? It was Cody Rhodes, right?
Yep.
He wins that
yep.
championship. You could play it in such a way that Cody Rhodes becomes bitter because he never
yep.
got a chance to finish his story, and
yep.
you could have a battle of the legacy for that
yes.
championship.
Yep, that's exactly how I would play it if they want to flip Cody, but I don't know if they'll do that before WrestleMania. But if you did want to flip Cody, Cody has a legitimate thing. He can say, look, I brought Randy Orton back. I brought Jey Uso in, and both of those guys steal my thunder. They wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me. Randy would still be sitting at home. Jey Uso would have quit. And what happens? I bring him back, and they take all my my spotlight. They take all of my opportunities. It's not a bad way to go. But, okay, it's Drew McIntyre by now. Somebody mentioned Drew McIntyre is going to be a top heel. Okay, but who's he going to fight? Who you got Drew set up for? Certainly not Roman. Seth, we've seen. So that's not a good WrestleMania match. Who? Jay, I guess. You could do it one-on-one again, but we've been there, done that too. So I'm not 100% sure. If I'm booking it, I'm definitely doing Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, because I think you could build that storyline. Legend killer. We get it. Seth Rollins, right now it has to look very much like CM Punk, but in order to build Randy Orton would have to win the Royal Rumble. And from what I'm being told, they're considering Randy Orton going against Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, so he's not in it. I'm also hearing that they might consider doing CM Punk and Seth Rollins at the Royal Rumble, so they're not in it. So I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what they're going to do. I do know this. I don't think they have a really good plan. Because in the years past, WrestleMania seemed like it got thrown together a bit. And I think it's thrown together a bit now. Number one, you're looking at, we're in December. You got 3 months. You got 90 days, basically. Because you don't count most of December you don't even count that much because people are doing a lot of shopping and they're doing a lot of holiday activities, and they're not paying close attention to wrestling. Ratings usually dip a little bit and things. You're going to start picking it up right after the new year. And you got to be cranking on all cylinders. And Roman Reigns got to come back and be full-time. You're heading to WrestleMania. If you don't want to be full-time and you don't want to do what you're going to do, then don't be the main event of WrestleMania. Don't insist, well, I got to be the last match or the first match. Well, you can't be if you're sitting at home because people have forgotten. All of your heat is almost gone. All the bloodline heat is almost gone. Think about it. Roman doesn't have that much heat anymore. Jimmy has none because he's beat up every week. Solo doesn't do much, so he doesn't have a ton of heat. Solo is a venture. I would book Solo against AJ Styles because that's who basically took out AJ Styles. So if you're going to book Solo for somebody for WrestleMania, I'd book him against AJ Styles. I mean, I guess you'd have to do Jimmy and Jay. That would work. And I don't know. If you have Randy Orton versus Roman, fine. If you have Seth Rollins versus CM Punk, fine. Jimmy versus Jay, fine. Maybe AJ Styles versus Solo, fine. But then what? Where's Drew McIntyre heading? Where's Sami Zayn heading? Where's Gunther heading? I don't know. Where's Cody heading even? I don't know. I don't know. So they've got an interesting problem, Todd. I mean, what would your main event at WrestleMania be if you had to decide on it?
Oh, man, like you said, I would have Randy Orton and Roman. Actually, that's probably a Royal Rumble match. You got to have the winner of the Royal Rumble versus Roman Reigns for the WWE Championship. Could be anybody.
WrestleMania this year is kind of tough because it doesn't add up. It does, like I said, if you take your top faces and your top heels, you're going to be way, way, way face heavy and light on the heels, Mike.
I mean, look, the only thing, I mean, I understand that the first match back, the first basic short feud back for AJ Styles is probably going to be Carl Anderson, right? Which I guess makes sense. But that would be a short feud, you know, in terms of what you just said earlier. Yeah, that would make sense too. But we'll have to see. I mean, as of right now, on the male side, there is no main event for WrestleMania. On the female side, all you got to do is look at basically the Four Horsewomen and Asuka and them, right? That's it. That's your female main event for WrestleMania, right there.
I don't think they'll ever do it, though, because it's going to incorporate the champion, and they want the champion to be a solo match. So I don't think they'll do that. I think they're going to do that before WrestleMania because they're going to want a one-on-one match. Rhea Ripley, who's Rhea Ripley taking on? Nia Jax? That's what it looks like you're setting up. I got news for you. You better realize that that's going to turn Rhea 100% face. Who are you setting up Dominic for? You say Dominic's your top heel, yet he's always getting bounced around. So is it really a big deal if it's going to be Dominic versus, you know, Cody Rhodes or something? No, that's not a big deal. We know Cody's winning. That's not a good match. I could see maybe Santos Escobar, Rey Mysterio, if Rey Mysterio's coming back. I get that might work. Or some faction of Carlito's LWO against Santos's, El Ligado del Fantasma. I could see that working. And that might be more likely because you're going to get a lot of people in that match. So you can satisfy everybody being in WrestleMania. So that's a possibility. But, I mean, this is the time of season where everybody's fighting for their WrestleMania spot. And I'm taking a look around and I'm saying there's going to be a lot of faces left out because they don't have anybody to fight. Unless they're going to fight somebody that's so obvious. I think you shit the bed a little bit with Dominic. I don't think Dominic should have lost as many matches as he lost. I know you're trying to make him a shit heel, a guy who he's not really that tough and he thinks he's tough. He's got to be that guy who wins through the most ridiculous things where you're just like, well, that's ridiculous. He shouldn't have won and he won. Because then it's aggravating and you're waiting for that one loss. He's already lost so much. It's amazing he still has that heat. I think that's what Shawn Michaels means when he says he's got to be the top heel because he still gets that much heat. And he's not really won anything. Not really done much. Every time he's up against the top guy, he loses. So it's not like he's maintained his heat by being victorious a lot. People are saying Damian Priest, well, he could be a top heel. He's not even going to be a heel by WrestleMania. And Finn Balor's nobody's top heel. So I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. But the main event, WrestleMania's main event, will obviously be Roman Reigns. So you've got maybe four options. You've got Cody Rhodes. You've got CM Punk. You've got Randy Orton. And you've got Seth Rollins. Some people are saying The Rock, but I just don't see how that's I don't see how that's going to work. And I don't even think it's going to be a good main event. See, that's the thing. You want the end of WrestleMania to be like, wow, that was a banger of a main event. The Rock's pushing what, 50 years old? The muscle mass that he's carrying right now does not allow him to really have any kind of cardio that he's going to go more than a few minutes. It's not going to work. And he's ring rusty. And there's a very limited amount of things he'll do or take because, oh, my God, if he ever got hurt, there goes this and there goes that movie deal and there goes this. I don't see that as being a good match. I see that as being total hype. Now, if you're going to tell me Roman Reigns wasn't even the champion and they're just going to have a match, I'd say, yeah, that sounds good because then The Rock can win, go back to Hollywood and whatever, it'd be fine. But the main event of WrestleMania for a championship belt, no. I don't see it. What's your thoughts on it, Tom? Who do you have as the main event? Who's Roman's opponent for WrestleMania if you're booking?
Man, I'd honestly have to go with Seth or Cody, but you kind of run into a brick wall. There has to be some kind of – there's got to be a reason for either one. And wouldn't it be something – I was just thinking about this. I said, wouldn't it be something – we just got finished talking about him. But wouldn't it be something? I know he's United States champion, but wouldn't it be something if Logan Paul somehow weaseled his way in?
Yeah, I don't think I want him as a main event of WrestleMania. Number one, we've seen Roman Reigns and Logan Paul and in Saudi Arabia. Great match, but I don't want to see it again. I got to tell you that in some ways, CM Punk coming in threw a monkey wrench into this. Because now you got to have a big CM Punk opponent for WrestleMania. If CM Punk had not came in until after WrestleMania, then I can guarantee you that you would have had probably a much bigger push toward maybe Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. But CM Punk coming in, who's his opponent going to be? He has to have somebody big. It has to be somebody. It can't be, you know, it's not going to be one of the guys from Imperium. That's not going to happen. It's going to have to be somebody big. And the only person has showed any inclination toward wanting to start a program with CM Punk was obviously Seth Rollins when he was yelling and screaming and giving him the finger and all that kind of stuff, and they got a natural storyline built up there, so it's possible that's where they're going with that. But okay, then that takes care of Seth Rollins' opponent. I don't like the match, unless CM Punk is clearly a heel by then, because I think it's going to divide the fans, and I just don't like it when it divides the fans. I know there are some people out there like, isn't it great when like they like both guys? No, I don't think it is. I've never thought it was. I never liked those kind of matches. I want the fans to have somebody to root for and somebody to boo. And it should be, for the most part, the same person. I know there's always people who's going to cheer the heels. That's fine. But I'm saying for the greater part, there should be a heel. There should be somebody that you shouldn't be cheering. And they're going to cheer CM Punk, I think. He's going to have to do something really, really bad for them to boo him. And I think eventually he will, but I don't think it's going to be before WrestleMania, Todd. So I'm not sure. I would have to think CM Punk's opponent for WrestleMania would be Seth Rollins.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole thing with CM Punk and Seth Rollins, and when he made a return this past Monday night, it kind of looked like I'm here to make money, not to make friends. That's sort of like a heelish move right there.
Right. Absolutely. So let me pitch this to you. Whether they're on the same program or not, it doesn't really matter with WrestleMania anyway. How about if Gunther was to say something so outrageous that it really would get him heat? How about if Gunther was to say something negative about Dusty Rhodes? How about if he was to say Dusty Rhodes was not a wrestler? Dusty Rhodes was a showman. He was the one who started all this nonsense. I've always told you about the people like The Miz and people like that, who they're just entertainers. They're just showmen. They're not wrestlers. They're not athletes. Dusty Rhodes was a fat whale. And you people worship him because you think he's great and you think he was this, that, and the other thing, and all he was an entertainer. He was not an athlete. He was not a wrestler. And then you could work a program with Cody Rhodes saying, well, look, there's many things that I put up with in my career, being called this and that, being having opportunities stolen from me, being back-jumped by people I thought were my friends. But the one thing I'm not going to put up with is I'm not going to put up with you bad-mouthing my dad. And if you think for 1 minute that my dad wasn't a wrestler, if he was alive, he would have kicked your ass. He's not, so I'm going to. I think you could work a pretty good program with that, Mike, and people would definitely be on Cody's side.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. That would be a great program, you know, and the fact of the matter is nobody's going to cheer Gunther. Cody would keep all his face heat. Nobody would cheer Gunther, and that would be a perfect way to get three Imperium guys back on the same page. Have them, you know, do something to get it to be Cody together. You know?
Yeah, I think so. Now, some people are saying that they're trying to get Steve Austin and CM Punk hooked up for WrestleMania. I don't know how that works. I just don't know how that works. You're going to have to turn CM Punk heel immediately if that happens. And then I find it hard to believe that Austin's going to come back to drop to CM Punk. And if CM Punk loses to Austin, well, there goes all of CM Punk's momentum because, Jesus Christ, man, he's younger than Austin. He hasn't retired. He's been active in wrestling. He can't beat Steve Austin coming out of retirement. Then I guess he's sure as hell ain't beating Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins. So I don't see that happening in anybody's universe. I don't know even know how that would work. But in the modern way we book, which is something that Al Snow was talking about on his recent interview with Dutch Mantel, wrestling has changed. CM Punk could clearly lose to Steve Austin. Roman Reigns could clearly lose to The Rock. And the next week beat Brock Lesnar. It doesn't make any sense. They've lost that ability to tell you the story about how the pecking order goes. There's no pecking order anymore. Today, Chad Gable could lose to Ludwig Kaiser, and tomorrow he could beat Gunther. It doesn't make sense. And they don't care that it makes sense. There is a new attitude that, well, if it's unpredictable, 1 week he loses, but next week he wins against somebody even better, it keeps him hot, because you say, okay, he lost the match, but hey, he won against this bigger. No. It doesn't. All that makes is everybody's equal, and nobody likes that. I want to see the old days come back where you say, look, there's a top echelon, and these guys don't lose much. So when they do fight each other, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. Imagine if Hulk Hogan, on his way to fighting Andre the Giant, had dropped three matches to people. Imagine if Andre the Giant had dropped three matches to people. You'd say, I don't care. I no longer care about that match. You cared because you were like, well, my God, I don't know who's going to win this. We need to bring back those days. Because, unfortunately, in those days, the internet was around, but it wasn't as prevalent. And we didn't have all this advanced information. And now fans are factoring in things they would never factor in before. When you were a fan, and at least when I was a fan, early on in my wrestling fandom, I wouldn't factor in anything except, oh, my God, so-and-so's really good, and he's really good. I don't know who's going to win. Now I'm factoring in, well, he just come into the Federation and he's lost a match. He can't afford to lose another match, so they're going to let him win. Because we're factoring in things that has nothing to do with the entertainment value in it, because we're too smart for our own good. Now the writers, the wrestling writers and the journalists, they have to be that smart. But now the fans are. So now it's very, very difficult it's much more difficult to get fans questioning what's going to happen because they factor in the same information that the writers factor in, the journalists factor in, and even the bookers factor in because they have access to that information. I don't like that. And it makes wrestling much harder to actually book and fool people on. That's why you have to work 10 times harder. And that's why I say WrestleMania this year is going to be tough. I've already had fans saying it doesn't matter who Roman Reigns is fighting, he's losing. This is where he's losing his title because he wants to do a part-time and he's been on record saying he's going to go do a movie and he's going to go do this. So we know he's losing. Doesn't matter who he fights. If he fights Ricochet, he's losing because he's leaving for a while. Okay, well, you have that advance information. So now how am I supposed to make this match exciting when you have that advance information? To have Roman Reigns actually address it. The first way is to actually have him come in and say, I don't know where this information comes from, but I'm not going anywhere. I've heard after WrestleMania, I'm taking time off. Bio, who said that? After WrestleMania, I'm going to be on the very next show on Monday night, and I'll be on Friday night, and I might be on both shows every week after that because I got a point to prove, and the point is, ain't nobody here beating me. They haven't so far, and they're not going to. So whatever journalists are writing that, whatever little internet trolls are putting that on the web, you're wrong. Then people would say, well, maybe we got bad information. If you don't address it, then people just say, oh, well, they're not addressing it because they know we know. So I think at some point, Tom, you got to outsmart the people who are smart.
Yeah, 100%. And again, this is one of those things where wrestling psychology has to come into play. I could hear Dusty Rhodes right now up in heaven with the whole thing you came up with Gunther talking about Dusty negatively and Cody coming out. He's like, that's a super cool idea, baby. That's what you got to do. I could hear him. I could hear him say it because that is something that can give – Gunther really a ton of heat because Dusty's loved, and it could give Cody a real big boost because the fans love him and the fans will be behind him. This could also be where Imperium can be like, you know what, screw you, I'm out of here, and leave Gunther on his own.
Could be done with it. But my point is, you built Gunther up through the months as a guy who says, there's a difference between a professional wrestler and an entertainer. I have no respect for the entertainers. You might be entertaining to me. I might laugh at your antics, but I don't take you seriously in the ring because you're not a serious competitor. Who better? Who better to pick on than Dusty Rhodes? Because he could say, look at his physique. Disgusting. Look at his demeanor. Look at his dress. Oh, and let's put this up on the screen. Remember when he came to you and danced around in polka dots? Remember when he humiliated himself to be a clown because that's all he really could be? Like father, like son. Remember when you put on the Stardust makeup and pretended to be from outer space because you were an entertainer? Because you wanted to follow in your daddy's footsteps? Well, you weren't even good enough to do that. As much as I've talked trash about your father, at least he was a good entertainer. Bad wrestler, good entertainer. You're neither. I mean, I think that would hit home, Mike, and I think you'd have a really bitter, feud to have between that.
I would say so, and also you could bring up, well, you could have Cody bring up, well, I went away and I built the company of my own. So wait, you telling me I'm not into wrestling? I built a company. You know?
Well, you know, I wouldn't even do it. I would just have them say, look, here's the deal. Am I an entertainer? Of course I am. Because wrestling, by its very nature, is supposed to be entertaining. You, my friend, are as dry as dust, and to be perfectly honest with you, You're nowhere near as good in that ring as you think you are. And I promise you that if my dad were in his prime and alive, you wouldn't last 5 minutes in the ring with him. He's not alive. You say I'm not as good as my father. You're not going to make it out of there with your title either, my friend. I'm going to prove to you once and for all that there's something to be said about the people who are entertainers. Doesn't mean we can't wrestle. Just means you can't be entertaining. I think you'd have something there. Everyone would root for Cody. Everyone would root for Cody. Then if you've got some time, you've got to try to build Jey Uso back up. I don't know how you're going to do it. I really don't, but you're going to have to try. If you want him to, or I'm saying Jimmy Uso, back up so he fights Jey, if that's what you want. Now, I don't know if that's what you want. Jey Uso's been doing fine on his own. He's main eventing. He's in War Games. Main eventing. Jimmy Uso is getting beat up by everybody. And then you got to understand that we've told you, you got Cody Rhodes, main event face. Randy Orton, main event face. Seth Rollins, main event face. If CM Punk's a face, main event face. How about LA Knight? Main event face. Look at all the main event faces you have. How many main event heels do you have? Not enough. I'm sorry, you just don't. So it's going to be tough, Mike. Who's LA Knight going to fight? People are saying, well, maybe Solo. Well, we've seen that. He beat Solo on a regular television show.
Absolutely. And here's another thing you could do with Cody Rhodes. When Gunther says to Cody Rhodes, you're not your dad, Cody Rhodes could produce his dad's Hall of Fame ring and say, you're damn right I'm not my dad. My dad's a goddamn Hall of Famer.
Yeah, something you'll never be, Gunther. You're never going to be a Hall of Famer. Listen, Gunther could drag his brother through the thing, too, and say, you Rhodes are all the same. Dusty was an entertainer. Your brother had to dress up like like a circus clown in order to build a career. You basically did the same thing and then left the company because you weren't even good enough to do that. Went over to another company and weren't good enough to wrestle. So now you're back here with your tail between your legs because you're not even as good as either one of them. And they weren't very good. I mean, that's a very good angle to use. People, the audience will say, I don't think Gunther realizes how good Cody is. And he's going to find out. See, that's always a good thing, is when the heel is oblivious to the fact that you're about to get your ass kicked. You know, that always happened when somebody came in and said, Stone Cold Steel, who the hell is that? Some drunk whatever, I'll kick his ass. And then you heard the glass breaking, you're like, well, you don't know. He has no idea. Or somebody, the Undertaker. I'm not afraid of the Undertaker. If he were here right now and then you hear the bell and you're like, he don't know. He's about to get it. Well, that would be the case. So I would be a big proponent of starting that feud. A big proponent of starting that feud. I would have Gunther go on this campaign where he was literally mocking and humiliating all the wrestlers who played characters through the years. Because fans understand, well, that was a different time in wrestling. Everybody played a character. I mean, The Undertaker himself was a character, right? Everybody was a character. So let him go on that humiliating thing and then get around to Dusty. That would be great. So if you had that, Gunther versus – and they say they want Gunther versus Brock Lesnar. Well, I got news. Alfonso is 100% correct. If Gunther could just barely squeak by Chad Gable, how the fuck do you want us to think that he's going to beat Brock Lesnar? If that's what you had in mind from the very beginning, Gunther should be so tough that he was just taking guys like Chad Gable out in 3 minutes. And the announcer should be saying, well, I don't know. I mean, Chad Gable is a legit wrestler. And Gunther treated him like he was a rookie. I don't know who the hell's going to take him on. Then you might say, oh, well, here comes Brock Lesnar. That's not going to be so easy. But when he basically lost to Chad Gable and would have lost, I'm sorry. Then Brock Lesnar should be able to kill him. So I don't like that. That's what happens in wrestling. Al Snow is 100% right. They don't think ahead enough to say, well, we're setting him up for so-and-so. So we have to make him look a lot tougher than this one. They're more worried about, well, it's got to be an equal match, so it's an exciting match. You got to almost lose three or four times. Okay, well, if you almost lose three or four times to R-Truth, then you're not beating friggin' Brock Lesnar. You have to understand that. That's just the way the business works, Todd, and they're not doing that anymore.
Well, that's really like you said about this Gunther thing and everything. Like you said, they need like a guy who could stand up for a Brock Lesnar or a Cody Rhodes or something. Especially like with the Rhodes family, like stick up for the Rhodes family name. You could get like Dustin and this whole thing.
There's a lot you could do, but unfortunately they have a little bit of a problem, and the problem is you just don't have enough bona fide heels. You just don't. Hey, can you turn CM Punk quick enough? You could, but then he basically has to win. See, CM Punk came in this federation at a bad time. Because, you know, whoever he fights at WrestleMania is basically going to win. They're not going to throw him to the wolves that quickly. So that's not good. If Drew McIntyre is turned heel, you're not going to throw him to the wolves that quickly. He's going to win his WrestleMania match because you've just turned him heel and he's not going to lose yet. These are the factors that make it hard to book wrestling matches that people are excited about or don't understand what the outcome is going to be because they have this information too. A 12-year-old kid can say, well, CM Punk will win at WrestleMania. They're not going to let him lose because he just joined. Yeah. That same 12-year-old kid 10, 15 years ago would be like, I don't know if he's good enough to win. See, that's the difference. We're factoring in as fans all kinds of things we didn't really factor in before. Only the people on the very inside of the business knew this kind of stuff. Now fans do, just casual fans, kids know it. So you got to work 10 times harder. And unfortunately, the WWE and AEW have not worked that hard. Now, I did want to discuss AEW. I know we got a little problem with our program there. I got booted and stuff and couldn't get back on. But let me just talk about this briefly. I had some people show me the AEW house show arenas and say, yeah, they're half full, but here's what you got to understand. They always do that. A hard cam side is always full. They always block off these sides. That's the way it always is. So don't tell me all these fans are shooting the wrong side to try to make it look like AEW is not selling tickets. Let me tell you something. I've been to 150. House shows. There has never been a time that I've been at a house show where one side's completely empty. I'm not saying it's never happened. Maybe it has. But I'm telling you, in all the ones I've ever been to, I've never been to a house show in the WWE where a whole entire side of an arena is empty. Never. So that's bullshit. Yeah, there's always more people on hard cam side. Yeah, they do tell people to move to hard cam side if there's empty seats on hard cam side. But never have I seen the left side, the hard cam side, is three quarters full and there's not a soul to be found on the other side of the arena. I've never seen that. So I'm sorry, they're not selling. Maybe they're selling in England. They're not selling in the United States. Yes, people give away tickets. Yes, the WWE comps tickets, ECW comp tickets, TNA comp tickets. Everybody comps tickets. Yes, there are seat fillers. Of course they exist. But I'm just telling you that when I see a picture of not one single chair filled on the whole other side of the arena, that's not normal. That's not the way it usually is. And then people say, well, it's because they rented the building, was cheaper to rent that big building. But a big building is not cheaper to rent. A big building is more expensive to rent. So, Mike, that's not the reason.
That isn't the reason, and that's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know for a fact that I remember when I used to consistently go to WWF shows, WWE shows at the time, that they would if they weren't sold out, if they were sparsely populated on the bottom row, on the bottom of the bowl of the arena, they would come in there and say, look, if you want to move down,
yeah,
come on and move down, you know?
Yes.
They would absolutely do that, right?
Yeah, and that's more common. I'll tell you why that's more common. If you're in row J, you're actually worse off as far as a view than you are in the bleacher section in the back where it's raised. So they would say, oh, well, there's some seats that are unoccupied here. We want it to look like every seat is occupied. So if like 50, 60 people want to come down and fill them, fine. But you're still going to see people in the bleachers. But maybe the bleachers have a few empty. They tell the people way in the back, if the people way in the back want to come to the front and fill up row J, go ahead. But it wasn't a whole side of an arena completely empty, void of one single person in the chair. Sorry, it's not. It was never that I've ever been to, and I've been to a thousand of these things, literally. I used to go to every TV taping, every single one that was anywhere in the Northeast. And I never seen it, not one time. So if you're AEW apologist who's just saying this is normal, it's not normal. And they better wake up and realize that's not normal. And you better fix it. You can't be doing and by the way, if they're comping tickets, how many of the people that's on the full side paid? That's another thing to think about. So AEW is going to have its trouble. You got to be able to draw. I warned everybody about this when they weren't touring. I said, you got to tour. You got to take your lumps and tour, even if you're not selling out. But they waited and waited until, you know, they're 3 years in, and now people ain't coming. When they were hot and fresh, they should have done this and built up their audience. They're trying too late now. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Tuesday with a Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.